behind this is the Earth Observatory. We will fly it as part of the third module that goes to the International Space Station. And then the International Space Station robot arm will actually move it and position it underneath HAB-1. So it will have this fantastic view of the Earth through the largest space windows ever attempted.
I smell bullshit.
Hey everybody, welcome to Studio 64. My name's David. I've been searching the interzones, some more science, space and tech news to share with you. Came across this at the Bite. Looks like we've got another NASA aerospace contractor that's having a few issues, shall we say. Yes, the company NASA's hired to build the next space station seems to be in big trouble. Firing 100 employees and unable to pay bills. Axiom Space is in crisis mode. Allegedly, of course. Let's have a look. Flyem crisis. Okay. Axiom Space, the space company that NASA picked to develop a private successor to the International Space Station, is in big trouble. Now, as Forbes reports, the startup is struggling to pay the bills and has laid off at least 100 employees while cutting the pay of those who remain. Now, as usual, I'll leave the link to the main article below the video so you can pop in, check out the embedded links, go for a bit of a deeper dive if you want. Makes for an interesting read beyond the main article, believe me. Now that leaves its plan to develop a module that can dock with the ISS before detaching to form its own space station on thin ice. And the clock is ticking because the ISS is set to be retired by NASA in 2030, 2 years sooner than anticipated. Yeah, and as I say, I think we know why. Yeah, and we'll get to that in a minute. In other words, the company is quickly running out of time and is years behind schedule. As a result, Axiom Space was forced to radically change the design of the station, per Forbes. Yeah, American taxpayers are now funding yet again another aerospace, shall we say, money pit. However, according to Forbes reporting, investors are balking at funding the development of a much smaller station that could end up being less commercially lucrative and possibly even more expensive. Now, the business model had to change, one former employee told Forbes, and that has continued to make it challenging for the company to get around its cash flow issues. Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion it's what's called DEI, Diversity, Equity and Inclusion. And we saw this with the Starlemon from Boeing. And it always amazes me that people say you can't DEI, David. You just, you know, you're a bigot. You're a big fat son of a bitch bigot. No, I just don't want people to die. I don't care. As I've said in previous videos, you could be a blue-haired non-binary wombat who identifies as a zimzerb they them on Thursdays. That's fine. I have no issue with that. But be an aerospace engineer first. Do your job first. Your skills, your work ethic, and work ethic are far more important than identifying as something. It's completely ridiculous. I mean, I can identify as an Irish Catholic Australian. Does that really mean that I'm qualified to, I don't know, you know, build the life support system for the International Space Station? Of course it doesn't. It's completely ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. Here's a little bit of a reminder. I'll drop in a little clip here about what happens when you use DEI.
3, 2, 1, ignition. And liftoff of Starliner and Atlas V, carrying two American heroes.
It was supposed to be an 8-day mission, but problems with the Boeing Starliner means two of NASA's astronauts will now spend around 8 months in orbit.
Starliner, where there was a little bit of action the other day.
Pilot Sunita Suni-Williams and Commander Barry Butch Bullmore were the first to man Boeing's new spacecraft, blasting off on the 5th of June. But issues with the Starliner's propulsion system kept delaying their return home. They've now been stranded in space for more than 2 months, with NASA saying the planned return on the Starliner would be too dangerous.
A test flight by nature is neither safe nor routine. And so the decision to keep Butch and Sonny aboard the International Space Station and bring the Boeing Starliner home uncrewed is a result of a commitment to safety.
A solution to a problem that NASA had previously denied, at first suggesting there was no rush to bring the astronauts back home. But now NASA say they will return in February, but not on a Boeing, instead on a rival craft.
As we started looking at various options, it was obvious to both of us that the easiest and best option was to configure the Crew 9 vehicle with a couple empty seats on the way uphill to put ballast in those seats. SpaceX had that capability.
Confirmation that Elon Musk's SpaceX will bring Sunny and Butch home marks a win for the billionaire's Dragon capsule. And yet another blow to Boeing. Shimon Freeman-Powell, Sky News.
Yeah, and people said to me, that's only because you're a bigot, David. No, you look at those two astronauts up there. One is named Sunny Williams. Her heritage is Indian. Now, if she had have come back in the Star Lemon spacecraft, despite the astronauts' confidence that they could get back into it and Boeing's confidence, there's no way you would have risked their lives. And while everyone's banging on about hurting people's feelings about not being a fan of DEI, what happens if those astronauts had have burnt up in the atmosphere? Seriously? I'm glad it didn't happen. I would never want it to happen. So while you're banging on about DEI and having hurt feelings, you could have had the first person of colour, Sunny Williams, burning up in the atmosphere with a, you know, I mean, that's just ridiculous to me. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't care if she's a woman of colour. She's clearly a qualified astronaut. Damn well good on her. But, you know, just the fact that she's of Indian heritage, it doesn't mean anything. She's obviously very, very skilled at what she does, and she deserves it. But the DEI in going to making the spacecraft put her life at risk. That's completely and utterly just not right as far as I'm concerned. And by the way, while you're banging on about it, Elon Musk, right? You're banging on about DEI. Elon Musk took half as much money, or basically half as much money, as Boeing did with its Star Lemon. And have a look how successful he's been with SpaceX. And now they've got to be rescued in a non-DEI Crew Dragon. What does that say? And by the way, this is what Elon Musk thinks about DEI.
There was a repost of Ben Shapiro that you claim that DEI is killing people. Specifically, you point to medicine. You claim that DEI programs are putting people at risk. Do you really believe this to be true? And what evidence do you have to support it?
What I was referring to there was that if we lower the standards for doctors, if the test for a doctor is lowered, then the probability of them making a mistake and killing someone is obviously going to be higher.
Say that again, and I'm not sure I understand what you said. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying, actually.
Yes, if the standards for passing medical exams and becoming a doctor, or especially something like a surgeon, if the standards are lowered, the probability that the surgeon will make a mistake is higher. They're making mistakes in their exam. They may make mistakes with people, and that may result in people dying.
What is the evidence?
I believe they have literally lowered the standards at Duke University, and that is what the article was referring to.
There's no evidence.
You say they have not lowered the standards?
There's no evidence about lowering standards.
Leave that as a false statement you're making.
Well, as you can gather from that, Uncle Elon and I have very, very similar opinions on DEI. Hire the person that's right for the job. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. It's not the color of your skin, it's the color of your soul. And if you do a damn good job and you are really, really good at it, don't care about the rest of it. No? Interesting, isn't it? Yes, on life support. Now, to bring home much-needed cash, Axiom started selling seats for trips to the ISS aboard SpaceX Crew Dragon spacecraft. How's that for irony? It was also awarded a NASA contract to fund a spacesuit for the first crewed mission to the lunar surface Artemis 3. But the suit appears to have been a massive distraction, not to mention a major money pit. Surprise! Not. Oh dear. That's a distraction from its plans to build a space station. SpaceX trips to the existing orbital outpost were also not a sustainable solution for Axiom's space woes. That's right. You can't sort of, you know, we appear to be failing, so like Boeing, so we better, you know, get onto the guy that works. While at the same time, he's being bagged out in the press, Google, Elon Musk at the moment. The amount of news stories about Elon Musk being Donald Trump 2.0 is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And he's the only guy that's taken half as much American taxpayers' money and done the job he's supposed to do. Fascinating. Yes, turns out there's not a lot of billionaires that want to set aside their life for 18 months to go train to be an astronaut for the ISS, the former Axiom executive told Forbes. Meanwhile, Axiom Space's billionaire CEO Cam Gafarian has reportedly been propping up the company with his own funds to keep it afloat. But despite his best efforts, Gafarian admitted to Forbes that the company had laid off about 100 employees this year. Existing employees were hit with pay cuts of up to 20%. Now, Axiom Space has also lost several key executives this year, suggesting significant turmoil behind the closed doors. Yes, interesting. Now, where all this leaves the company's plans to build a private space station remains to be seen. Axiom Space is only one of a number of companies contracted by NASA to develop a replacement after the ISS has retired in 2030. Now, NASA will narrow down that number sometime next year. According to Ars Technica sources, the agency may choose at least two companies for a second phase. But whether Axiom Space will make the cut remains to be seen. Its financial woes will likely complicate matters considerably. Yeah, it's very interesting. And I believe that the Artemis missions, there was a space rover that was supposed to be doing some reconnaissance for those upcoming Artemis space missions. Many, 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 many dollars later, it too has been cancelled. So the American taxpayer misses out again. And the parts are being sold off. To whom? Probably America's competition. I don't know. But it's very, very interesting, isn't it? Here's a little reminder of what Axiom was attempting to do when it came to the space station. And we'll finish off the conversation when we come out the other side.
There's sort of two philosophies in aerospace. One is you sit around and you think about requirements and you think about what you want to build. Or you build something, you test it, you figure out what works, you build another generation. We really believe at Axiom Space, the path to building something that doesn't exist in the world is you've got to start building prototypes. We sit and think about what we want to build for a little bit, but then we just go build the thing, test the thing, fire the engine. Our role really is to lead the way.
A year ago, walking into this facility, you didn't see nearly as much hardware as you see today. Full-scale mock-ups, training hardware, flight hardware. Axiom was created to build a space station, and that's exactly what this team is doing.
We're still on target to launch our first module the end of 26. The pressure vessel is undergoing welding at Thales Alenia, our partner in Italy. There's some of the largest forgings in the world. There's only a couple places in Europe that could even forge some of the pieces. The pressure vessel will arrive in Houston next year, and then we'll do all the final outfitting at our spaceport facility. And in the 50-year history of human spaceflight in Houston, it will be the first human-rated spacecraft ever built in Houston. Our teams are building all the other things, the life support system, guidance and navigation. We're building our own propulsion system. Our philosophy is to keep as much engineering in-house as possible. It allows us to have long expertise over a long time because we want to be building modules and adding to our space station for years and years.
Through our station, we will open up low Earth orbit to the world to explore, to travel, to complete science in space and beyond.
Microgravity represents this enormous natural resource, And we think there are things that we can do there that lead to medical breakthroughs, material breakthroughs, and leads to a better world for everyone.
It's the ability to produce the highest quality of parts, materials, biological media, an environment that is nearly pristine.
Behind us is the Earth Observatory. We will fly it as part of the third module that goes to the International Space Station. And then the International Space Station robot arm will actually move it and position it underneath HAB-1. So it will have this fantastic view of the Earth through the largest space windows ever attempted.
This is as close as you can get to actually doing an EVA in space. We talk about the overview effect, where crews come back and see the world in a different sense than they did before. And I think this is where you can really contemplate that whole experience. AX3 is one of those learning opportunities for a multinational crew to work together in space. This is exactly how we envision Axiom Station to operate, where you have people from all over the world experiencing life as a community in space.
Every morning when I walk into this building, I'm inspired by the work this team is completing. It's just a wonderful feeling seeing so many people excited about the prospect of launching the first commercial space station.
If we're going to make a sustainable presence outside of the Earth biome, this is how we have to do it.
Axiom Space is a continuation of a human need to explore and to move humans into the cosmos.
Well, that was interesting. We all love a good, what do you call it? A good visual, a good display. And it fills us with confidence and it's great and all that sort of thing. But again, it comes down to practicality. Okay, I believe that this is purely a DEI issue. I've worked with people from every walk of life in my years because I'm a very old man. And you know what? The best people I've worked with were hired not based on any of their identity politics or their politics in general. They were hired on their skills and they were hired for the person that they are. They're a decent person. Was very good at their job. And I'm telling you, again, as I say, all different backgrounds and all different types, but the main reason they were hired is because they could do the damn job. And this is a problem. It permeates every industry. It's not just America. It's here in Australia as well. And you're hiring people for the most ridiculous reasons. You know, I mean, do I care about what you do in your personal life? No, I don't. I've got friends that do things in their personal life that I look at and go, that's not my cup of tea. But is it something that's, you know, it's their personal life. That's what they do. That's fine. They don't let it affect all their work. It just fascinates me. I just don't get it. I mean, why have we gone down this path of humanity if we're going to be a spacefaring nation, a spacefaring planet, sorry, spacefaring species? When we're still childish, mindless, squabbling primitives. I mean, look at the way we treat each other. It's ridiculous. And it all comes down to complete and utter stupidity as far as I'm concerned. You know, I look at some of these large projects like this that end up being a complete disaster for the taxpayer all over the world, by the way. You know, and what happens? The moment you criticize it, you're a bigot. No, I'm criticizing it because it's stupid. I'll work with anyone as long as they can do their job. Fascinating, isn't it? All right, well, my name is David. Thanks for joining me for another Studio 64 Science, Space and Tech News update. I shall see you in the next one. If you enjoyed this video, please like, share, subscribe. Greatly appreciate it. If you're up for it, drop a comment down below the video because I'd love to hear what you think. All right, take care. And as I always say, if you can't be good at it. And as I also always say.
Did IQs just drop sharply while I was away?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!